Welcome back to Vermont Viewpoint. I'm Rick Sengary. As residents of many central Vermont communities peruse the ballot for town meeting day, they might notice an item asking whether your town should provide a certain amount to Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice, or CVHHH. This isn't an unusual request, but it might leave you with questions about why your town is considering such support. It might be particularly perplexing if you're new to the area. So I thought it would be a good time to have Sandy Roos, President and CEO of CVHHH, back on the program to discuss the work of the organization and the funding request made to towns that CVHHH serves. Sandy Roos, welcome back to Vermont Viewpoint.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Sure thing. Listeners, if you have questions for Sandy or if you're familiar with the work of CVHHH, you can call 244-1777 or 877-291-8255 to join the conversation. You can also email vtviewpoint@radiovermont.com. Sandy, let's begin with an explanation of what CVHHH is for those who might not be familiar with the organization.
Sure, Rick. So we are a non-for-profit visiting nurse association, and we are actually considered a full-service VNA. So we provide care, both medically necessary care and non-medically necessary care, as wellness and prevention and health promotion and our work embedded in community health. So interestingly enough, a lot of people might not know about us in the sense of we serve pregnant moms. We work with families prior to them having children and or if they're having other children and already started a family. And we work with newborn children, children up to age 2. And then we also work with individuals through end of life. So everything and everything in between. So certainly if you're going in for a surgery to rehab from a hip or knee, you don't have to go to a rehab facility. You can do that at home if you have the appropriate supports in place and get that rehab therapy, certainly if you have surgery. And lots of times people think, oh, home health is for old people. That's not the case. I myself have received services through Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice and their maternal and child health program. I had a high-risk pregnancy, and they were certainly my lifeline when I was able to come home from Fletcher Allen after 7 weeks of bed rest to continue my additional 6 weeks of bed rest. Mm. And also my husband has had several episodes of care with the agency for knee replacements and hip replacements.
All right.
Yeah.
What is the mission of CVHHH?
So our mission is actually to provide medically necessary care to those individuals regardless of their ability to pay, and then also to support the general welfare of our community through health promotion services as well as long-term care support services, those non-medically necessary services.
Now, I think you help over 20 cities and towns, so I'm not going to ask you to list them all, but what's the general geographic region that CVHHH serves?
Right. So Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice serves 23 towns, and we serve all of Washington County and 3 towns in Orange County, Williamstown, Orange, and Washington.
How has the pandemic, or has it, affected the way that you've been able to care for those that you serve?
Right. So the pandemic. So one of our goals has always been, and we certainly talk about it from a board perspective as well as a leadership perspective, is our ability to be nimble and adaptable. So that's something that's always a priority of ours and something we're always looking at. So also, as an organization that's been around for over 100 years, we started with real roots in the community related to community health, which is related to pandemics, clinics, et cetera. I was doing a little reading of history. Hmm. And back in 1924, diphtheria was definitely a pandemic, and we set up clinics for vaccinations. So certainly doing that with COVID, having flu clinics, et cetera. And then also a lot of our work is wellness and prevention. So certainly with our maternal and child health programs, that's a lot of wellness and prevention. And those individuals that come onto our home health program, medically necessary services, ultimately, we're trying to work for them to maintain their independence, to rehab, to get better, and to be discharged and be able to live independently on their own. So with COVID, when that all came around, it was, you know, it did, I can't say it didn't take us a couple weeks to get our feet under us, but certainly with PPE needs and all of that personal protective equipment and making sure we had what we needed to keep our staff safe as well as those individuals. But we knew our doors weren't going to close. We continued to accept all referrals. We had to quickly pivot, and with looking at those individuals that were already on our service, how could we serve them through this pandemic and mitigate risk? So we had to review all our clients on service, figure out what visits needed to be made in person, how could we potentially set them up with telehealth, and we were already set up using, you know, iPads, and we had a telemonitor program that those tablets have video capabilities and lots of other capabilities. And then also, what do we want to do to keep in touch with those individuals that really didn't want us in their home much? It's especially those individuals that are on our long-term care services and are providing services like doing their grocery shopping, making their meals, just general companionship, doing house cleaning, et cetera. So we decided to have staff continuously reach out to them on a regular basis, making sure they had what they needed by phone. So we call them up, you know, and sometimes what we learned is just that helped prevent social isolation, keeping them in touch with somebody on a regular basis to make sure they had what they needed. So instead of going grocery shopping, you know, once a week for them, maybe we were going twice a week or maybe even longer and then preparing meals ahead and maybe freezing them so that they could just take them out of their freezer. But then making those phone calls in between and also doing telehealth visits with some of our other clients on our other programs or phone calls to make sure they were in touch with somebody, they felt like their care was being taken care of, and they weren't going to end up in the hospital where they weren't going to be able to see people and they were kind of going to be on their own.
We are just about a year into this pandemic, and so it's really incredible what you've been able to do, and as you said, keep the doors open. For those who are homebound, have you gotten involved with vaccinations, the COVID-19 vaccinations?
Yes, we absolutely have. So we were also in the COVID response doing COVID testing, and we were partnering with Central Vermont Medical Center and their call center. So we were getting our test kits and going out and testing people in the home. In addition to that, it was a natural pathway for us to go to COVID vaccination administration. So we're partnering with EMS. We've been, our VNAs of Vermont have been working with the EMS system through all of this, and ultimately we're vaccinating our staff as well, not our staff, our patients. And then also we're compiling community lists, and people are calling us on a regular basis and working with our local EMS Waterbury ambulance currently to get out and vaccinate those other individuals that are considered to be homebound.
We're talking with Sandy Roos of CVHHH until 10 o'clock this morning. To join the conversation, you can give us a call at 244-1777, 877-291-8255, or you can email vtviewpoint@radiovermont.com. We'll be back right after this break. Welcome back to Vermont Viewpoint. I'm Rick Sengary. CVHHH President and CEO Sandy Roos is with me to discuss the services that the organization provides for the communities of Central Vermont. To ask Sandy a question, you can call us 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. You can also email vtviewpoint@radiovermont.com. And Sandy Roos, I just got this email from Paula, who writes, I have been a recipient of hospice and bereavement services from CVHHH. They're dedicated, empathetic, and knowledgeable staff have helped me to adjust to the loss of my spouse. I would not be as physically or emotionally well as I am now without their support. Their services are essential to the community. And so I'm sure you probably hear this time and time again, but it really is kind of beautiful to hear one of our listeners responding in that way this morning.
That's really great. Thanks, Paula.
Now, Sandy, I mentioned in the introduction that there are town meeting day ballot questions regarding funding for CVHHH. So let's step back from that just a moment. And how is CVHHH funded overall?
So overall, we are funded primarily by Medicare and Medicaid. That makes up 80% of our funding. We do receive a small amount of commercial insurance, some grants, and then from patient service revenue. And then everything else is really other operating income, contributions, town funding, investment income, et cetera.
And what happens in a situation where a patient isn't able to pay for your services?
So certainly in that case, from a medically necessary care perspective, we are able to cover the cost of those services, and we provide those services based on our mission to provide those services regardless of their ability to pay. And that's why we're so fortunate to have, you know, our towns that support us on a regular basis. All 23 towns actually contribute to our organization through a, whether it be through the budget process or through an article on the floor that gets voted on, et cetera. And also the many individuals that support, whether it's our fundraising events or just our mission and organization on a regular basis through our annual appeals and other donations.
Well, you mentioned the towns, you know, and I just wonder why towns are asked to help fund CVHHH.
Right. So there's a little bit of history that I'm familiar with. So many years ago, and we're talking many, prior to, you know, we're over 100 years old, the towns used to have nurses that went out and, you know, cared for people in their home if they were ill or someone was having a baby, et cetera. So when the VNA system or the home health agencies started to come about, and it really started off with a few nurses here and there in Montpelier and in Northfield, et cetera, the towns came to us and said, geez, you know, we're not really in the nursing business. If you can take this on and do this, we will, you know, help support your organization and or you as individuals to go out and care for our community in their home.
Wow.
So that is really our lengthy history. And ever since then, and I've been at the organization about 20 years and on the board prior to that for about 4 years, all of our 23 towns do contribute to our organization, and we are extremely grateful. And that's why we're able to do lots of times more than just what's expected for us to do under whether it's a regulatory or clinical care perspective, but also really what needs to be done.
And you mentioned a little earlier Medicare and Medicaid being a major part of your budget, but what you get from them, does that cover the cost of the services that you actually provide?
It does not. And, you know, when you think about Medicare and Medicaid, we are kind of at the mercy of those payers. They are the ones that set the rates. Those rates aren't negotiable. So lots of times with commercial insurance, you're negotiating a contract. That's really a minimal part of our business. And so therefore, we don't have any ability to cost shift like other organizations may do, whether it's, you know, from the physician or hospital world. So it's a very different funding model. And ultimately, we have rules in place that we accept all referrals that come through our door. So unless there's, you know, a significant reason not to. So ultimately, too, with Medicaid, they only pay about 50 cents on a dollar. And Medicare, between the years of 2007 and 2011, reduced Medicare rates by 50%. Hmm. In addition, through all of this pandemic, Medicare offered, and Medicaid commercial insurances offered many different waivers, whether it was relieving administrative burden for us and or providing reimbursement for telehealth to mitigate risk. Well, Medicare for home health strongly recommends we use telehealth for obvious reasons during a pandemic, but they don't reimburse us for it, whereas other providers do get reimbursement for providing telehealth. So certainly that has been a strain on our financial situation, but ultimately we know we have to do it. We're not going to close our doors, and this is how we have to care for people. And we know it's better care. It's a model that's better care, and we were kind of dipping into it anyhow. And so it just sped up the process of us being involved, and now we're working with our federal delegation as well as our National Trade Association to really focus on how does home health get reimbursement for telehealth.
All right, let's go to Williamstown. We've got Chris on the line. Hi, Chris. Go right ahead.
Good morning.
Morning.
I just want to take a quick minute and thank the folks at Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice. I lost my dad to cancer a couple weeks ago, and the folks at Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice were nothing short of absolutely amazing. The way they handle everything, the treatment and the care that they provide, I wish these folks didn't have to worry at all about where their funding was coming from. I just wanted to say thank you and point out the importance that there is to support these folks and what they do.
Well, thanks, Chris. I'm so sorry to hear about your father, but thank you for calling us and letting us know this morning.
Yes, thank you so much, Chris. That's really great to hear, and once again, my condolences, and I'm really glad that you had a very good experience.
Sandy Roos, are all the towns in the service area, all 20 towns, asked for the same amount of money on town meeting day?
Actually not. No, we do use a formula, and we use the same formula across all 23 towns. And what we do, and I know I look at the data myself, I am a CPA by trade, I used to be the CFO, so I was very actively involved in this over the years. And we look at the total population of the town compared to the total population across all the towns in our service area. And then we also look at a per capita rate, and our per capita rates are about $2.20 to about $2.75. And then also we look at the number of patients we serve in that town or city, as well as the number of visits we provide. So each year we're looking at that and analyzing it, especially looking at the trending to see where are we increasing visits, potentially, you know, where we can be doing more, et cetera. So there is really a formula that we use, and usually the percent of population over total compared to the percent of the number of people we serve and the number of visits is really in line, about that same percentage. So you'll see that across different towns and cities, there are different amounts that we ask for, depending on the volume of care that we provide and the number of individuals that are even in that county that are potentially eligible for the care.
Well, now that I know you're an accountant and former CFO, I feel great about asking this question. On the other side, how is that money that's received from these communities used?
So every year when we budget, we actually look at all our programs across the board, and really where we've been using the town funding for the last few years is in our long-term care services program. So those are Medicaid-funded programs, and that's a program, so once again, you know, we get about 50 cents on the dollar for reimbursement, and those are extremely, extremely critical programs. So from that perspective, you know, personal care attendants are providing, you know, laundry, going out and doing individuals' laundries, helping them prepare their meals, doing their grocery shopping, companionship, you know, really helping that individual be able to remain as independent as they can for as long as they can, so they can continue to live in the community, wake up to their neighbors, families, pets, drink their coffee in their own home for as long as possible without having to go into some sort of facility living. In addition to that, lots of times they have a case manager that's really helping them coordinate whether it's their care or helping them pay their bills or, you know, really coordinating and helping them get what they need when they need it.
What if
that's really where we're using our funding currently, but that can change every year, and we really try to look across the board to see what other funding sources we're receiving, et cetera.
And what happens if a town declines to fund CVHHH?
You know, that hasn't happened, so we've been extremely, extremely fortunate. It has happened where sometimes they reduce the allocation we're asking for. But certainly, once again, every year we look at our budget, we do strategic planning, we're always looking for new revenue streams. And really, most of those revenue streams would have to be non-operating income, so not income that necessarily is generated when a service is provided. So we're always looking to figure out how we can tap into additional sources of revenue that may be a result of care provided, and or how can we support ourselves? Because most times when we think about it and we look at our financials, 80% of our operating revenue is from Medicare and Medicaid. 80% of our expenses are salaries and benefits. So right there, we started a break even. And out of those salaries and benefits, 70% of that expense is for individuals that are directly taking care of patients. So there's not a lot of wiggle room there.
Right.
So ultimately, everything that our towns provide to us, everything that our donors, you know, and sponsors provide to us, whether it's through in-kind donations, whether it's through sponsorships for our fundraisers, and, you know, whether it's donations for our annual appeal, that all goes to support the services that we provide on any given day.
I I was going to ask you what happens if all 23 towns vote no, but that is a moot point, gladly. I don't have to ask that question.
I think it's a moot point, but I do want to recognize for any of those individuals, the constituents from the towns, as well as the select boards and all that, we do know budgets are tight everywhere. And certainly the COVID pandemic has made it even more, you know, more challenging for all of us. And we're extremely grateful for the support that we receive. And we want, you know, towns to really reach out to us if they feel there are needs that we could really be supporting. And I know I've been attending informational and budget meetings. And certainly, you know, if there's a need that they think we can fill, I want to hear from them.
Excellent. Sandy Roos is president and CEO of Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice. And to learn more about the organization, you can visit cvhhh.org. Sandy, thanks for being on the show this morning.
Well, thank you for having me, Rick. And I hope it's been helpful for others that are listening in to really learn about, you know, our towns and the support that they give us and the reason why we need that funding and how we use that funding.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Sandy.